answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We have said is, again, that if the Iranians are behaving like a normal country and if they make their country investable, then the Gulf Arab states are going to decide, may decide, to invest in that country, invest in their infrastructure, invest in their incredible resources. But I think it's important, not a single dime of that money comes from the United States. And in order for Iran to get that benefit, they have to show the Gulf Arab states that they're behaving like a normal country. Again, the whole concept of this deal is that if Iran acts like a normal country, their economic relationship, both with the region, but the world, is going to be totally transformed. The president of the United States doesn't want just a deal on the nuclear, as much as that's a win for the American people.
Yeah.
He wants to see a transformed Middle East, which is what this deal will do so long as the Iranians comply. And if they don't, they won't get any of the benefits.
That is Vice President Vance talking about how the deal is going to go down with Iran once it is finalized. And he's saying they're not going to get any money to help rebuild their nuclear facility. What do we have in this agreement? Checks and balances. Again, you got to go back to Ronald Reagan. Trust, but verify. Now, if you missed our last hour, shame on you. Shame on you. But I know you can't listen all the time. That's why everything we do later goes up as a podcast when we complete the program. At Larry Connors USA Facebook, LarryConnorsUSA.com, NewsTalk STL. And, of course, when we're on the air right now, we're streaming video where you can watch the program. Again, at Larry Connors USA, Larry Connors USA Facebook, News Talk STL, News Talk STL Rumble, Larry Connors Rumble. We're available for you everywhere. Larry Connors USA Rumble or News Talk STL Rumble. You can watch the program, and I encourage you to do it. Now, what did you miss in the last hour? I had a guest on that probably is upset some folks, but many others were probably greatly cheering. Rabbi Michael Barclay. He has his own podcast program, and he speaks very directly about what he thinks about U.S.-Israeli relations and basically trying to build those relations. But he flat out condemned J.D. Vance as not being competent enough to move forward in dealing with Iran. And he also had harsh words for President Trump in the way Trump has been responding to Bibi Netanyahu, making it clear in his view, Rabbi Barclay, when Trump is being quoted as saying, Bibi doesn't know what the F he's doing, Barclay takes exception at that. When Trump is being quoted as, there wouldn't be an Israel without me, Barclay takes exception with it, and I stand with him on that point. But we are where we are at this point. This deal is to be officially signed off on Friday. Apparently the U.S. has already signed as part of it, and Iran, I told you before, a snake may shed its skin, but it's still a snake. And Iran is already looking for ways to get around it. And we do not have inside the deal they're signing now much more than opening the Strait of Hormuz. It's international waters. Iran has no claim on it. But supposedly they will not fire on vessels traversing the Strait of Hormuz. Supposedly. And supposedly they'll get their proxies to back down. That would be Hezbollah in Lebanon. But they haven't been doing that. They've been firing into Israeli territory, so Israel has been returning fire, and that's what got Trump upset. Said he called Bibi and said, what the F are you doing? I don't know what Bibi's response would be, but mine would be, I'm defending my country. That's what I'm doing. I'm a Trump supporter, but I'm not a Trump all-in guy all the time. When he's doing things wrong and speaking out of order and making statements I don't think he should, I'm going to call them out. Now, you may agree or disagree, but I don't follow any man. Every man is capable of mistakes and lies, confusion, being wrong. Only one man, only one perfect man walked the face of this earth, Jesus Christ. We got a lot to cover here for you in our second hour. Thank you for joining us. June 16, 2026. I'm reminding you, with Larry Connors USA, you are going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. And coming up later in this hour, I've got a guest from the Heritage Foundation who's basically saying we need to build trust with AI and not be slow to innovation. He said we need it, or the she's going to say we need it because the U.S. needs to win the race regarding AI. Do you agree? She'll be coming up shortly. Now, once again, the deal between Iran and Israel, suppose I should say Iran and the U.S. and the other nations in the Middle East, apparently be officially signed off on Friday. But here's Trump speaking about Israel.
Great relationship with Bibi, but now Bibi has to be more responsible with respect to Lebanon. Lebanon used to be a great country. It was a country where you had professors, doctors, lawyers. The great intellect was in Lebanon. Now it's just, it's terrible. I would say of all countries, they've been treated the worst. And they can't defend themselves. And they have Hezbollah, which is a problem for them. So, no, I'm not happy with the way Israel has handled themselves with Lebanon and with Hezbollah. They should have been able to do this job faster. It just goes on forever. And when that happens, it throws a negative light on the big deal, and that's the deal with Iran.
Yeah, that is the big deal. But and shipment going through the Strait of Hormuz is a big deal. It affects your oil and gas prices, your supply prices, and it will begin to come down. Now, CNN and NN wants to broadcast to you, it's not going to fall like a rock. It will float down like a feather. And that's probably more accurate. Prices will slowly shed their numbers. We're down 50 cents from, I think, 2 weeks ago. And there will be more if the strait is fully open. But, of course, we also have to keep in mind what Iran is capable of. On the other side, the main issue is nuclear capability. They cannot have that. We must make sure they do not have it, not only for the U.S., but throughout the Middle East, and that would include, obviously, Israel. And when we're sending some of the money, when we're beginning to release some of the money, apparently is agreed to upon the initial deal, as I've seen it so far, we are going to release billions to them, but it's destined, supposedly, to help build their infrastructure, help get their people out of the Stone Age. But there's no guarantee. So it's going to be a step-by-step process. When we see you accomplish this, we'll release you more money. But we also don't know how much is, if you consider with the fraud in our nation under the Biden administration, how much of the money is sliding through their fingers to those at the bottom to go out and carry out terrorist activities. And the FBI and the Secret Service have come together to admit there was a plan this last Sunday which could have brought disaster to our nation's capital, possibly President Bush directly, certainly many innocents. The Fox report on the drone attack.
An FBI news alert. The FBI is is disrupting an alleged plot targeting last weekend's UFC Freedom 250 event at the White House. Officials telling Fox a network of nearly two dozen suspects has been identified, with at least five people in custody. The alleged plan included explosive-packed drones hitting buildings near the event, forcing a mass evacuation and steering crowds toward a pre-staged sniper team. A second wave was then planned to storm the White House gate. The FBI first learned of the threat last Wednesday and then worked with law enforcement across multiple states to stop it.
And they did. We don't know how close they came, but we know they've been in the process of doing that, preparing for it. Jonathan Turley, Fox News analyst.
The fact is that the government is not the only party preparing for the July 4th celebrations. There are terrorist organizations that are drawn to the same events. If you are in the business of creating terror, there's no greater inducement than these types of celebrations, including the one at the White House. What is really chilling about this is the level of preparation and planning. This was not just some type of improvised device or a sniper. This was a well set out pattern of events to maximize casualties. And we have to keep in mind that under the Biden administration, millions of unvetted people were released into this country. It would be a very dangerous delusion to believe that these terrorist organizations and countries did not use that open border to bring people inside.
And I have not heard anyone from the left condemn the very attack that could have taken place in D.C. Crickets. They're not out there condemning what could have been a disaster in our nation's capital, killing thousands. And, of course, we're trying to round them up and get them out of the country if we believe not just that they're illegal, but they're plotting against our government. And you got the leftists out there trying to defend them. Take note of this, of what they're doing in Sweden. They passed a good behavior legislation. Listen up. Are you listening? The Swedes decided from the Swedish parliament, the primary purpose of this legislation would be, we're going to remove individuals in our country based on their lifestyle. That is, their way of life should hold greater weight when assessing this migrant's residence permit in Sweden if we're going to let them stay. Whether or not they can or cannot become a Swede makes no difference. They're going to be looking at either granting or revoking them. The details, among other things, stricter requirements for obtaining, retaining a residence permit, and a person's conduct, known as personal good behavior, will carry greater weight in the eligibility to be living in our nation. That's not a bad idea. I don't know if you could enforce it. But Swedes are way ahead of us on trying to deal with the criminal element, criminal illegals inside their country. In the meantime, Governor Gavin Newsom, California governor, claiming the DOJ has been weaponized against him. Well, if anyone would understand that possibility, it would be Newsom and other Biden Democrat leftists.
In recent days, federal agents have knocked on the doors of family, friends, and former employees. Not because they found a crime, because they're simply trying to find one. They're demanding records. They're abusing the grand jury process, digging through years and years of random documents. Donald Trump isn't just coming after me because of my mean tweets. He's coming after me because I'm considering running for president. Because he hates that I've consistently called him out over and over again for his lies and deceit. Donald Trump is simply the most corrupt president in American history.
And he stands there.
He's turned the levers of government into his own personal power ministries to reward cronies and to try to jail his opponents. His personal attorney now runs the Department of Justice, which has repeatedly gone after his political enemies.
Yeah. As did Biden and DOJ under Merrick Mealymouth Garland. And they were looking for a crime to put around the man. Oh, now Newsom says, now they're attacking my family, as if the Biden DOJ didn't attack the Trump family.
Donald Trump directed his Department of Justice to investigate me. And just in the last week, I've learned that his campaign has reached my own home to get me. He's coming after my wife, Jen, a public servant, a woman who's dedicated her life to supporting women and girls. Someone who has done nothing wrong other than having the temerity to advocate for what she believes in. If they can't intimidate me, they'll go after the mother of our children.
So wait a minute.
Donald Trump picked the wrong target.
Wait a minute.
We have nothing to hide.
Wait a minute. Is she a mother? Is she a womb-bearing person, child-bearing person? And when she talks about defending women and girls, is she talking about protecting them in sports, letting transgenders in? Of course not. Kentucky Congressman James Comer says, you look at all of this and it is all hypocrisy.
The last president who we investigated pardoned his whole family, and you all didn't say a word. You giggle all you want. The American people are fed up. You're going to be in for a shock, I think, when you see how angry the people are at fraud and the Democrats' lack of doing nothing. I mean, should be bipartisan bills to detect fraud, and all you're concerned about is hiring more federal employees that have not been detecting fraud.
I think what Democrats are concerned about is the ongoing fraud of this of our taxpayer dollars inflicted on the American people, and we are seeing it over and over again. And you know, we just saw that this administration, Trump wanted a slush fund, which was basically a fraud on the taxpayer, so he could give it to the January 6th insurrectionists, 97 of whom have already been convicted of new crimes. We have seen that fraud in the terms of the way he is giving out pardons, selling pardons, and then
the last
pardoning,
your beloved president Biden pardoned his whole family for fraud. Pardoned his whole family on the way out the door.
That is New Mexico Democrat Congresswoman Fernandez saying, oh, but we're seeing so much worse from Trump trying to help out the J6 insurrection. There was no insurrection. And many of them were charged falsely. They will not get off that train. That's fine. I want to derail it with them on it. Coming up, AI can be a very good thing, could be a very bad thing, could be, what do we do next? My guest on that issue. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Meguiar Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Meguiar is a household name because Meguiar understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Meguiar Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MeguiarMoving.com. John Beall Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beall to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beall has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beall. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. I have a guest from the Heritage Foundation, an expert on AI, Autumn Dorsey. And Autumn, I want to thank you for joining us to begin with.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm looking at a piece that apparently you're pointing out and explaining to others how we need to build trust with AI. Otherwise, we'll be slowing innovation. And the U.S. will not win the race against other nations in AI. Would you take a moment to explain?
Yeah, a really big part about this race is AI adoption. And studies have shown that the way to increase AI adoption is to build trust between the consumer and the AI application. But the kind of the way to do that is to have like federal guardrails.
Now, by federal guardrails, are you talking about censorship?
No, I'm talking about just like, it could look like a lot of different things, but central like legislation regarding how do we actually protect people? How do we make sure that we're supporting human flourishing when it comes to AI? So what do those rules look like? You know, this could be like child safety. This could be transparency. There are a lot of different approaches, but I think we're going to need some federal guardrails.
Well, let's look at that for a moment. Now, when the internet surfaced and when we suddenly had all these social media companies out there, would you compare the innovation that happened then to the same situation now?
Yes and no. I mean, it's a new technology, right? But AI is so fast-paced and has a lot of different structures and different risks than the internet did. So this is a kind of a different situation.
Well, when you start trying to decide what's good AI and what's bad AI, what are the parameters?
Yeah, I actually think that there isn't really such a thing as like good AI or bad AI. AI is a tool, and it kind of depends on how you use the tool, like sort of like what safety standards are like lab setting. I think that's more important than trying to figure out, you know, is this model like really, really good? Is this model really, really bad?
Well, I have a client that specializes in AI and helps numerous companies, PRI Global. Might as well give them a mention in the process. And they're working on building, you know, their own AI issues for individual companies to meet their needs. Right now, a lot of the AI out there, how much of it is already being manipulated in a way to alter minds and maybe votes?
That's a great question. I think the part about like altering minds, I think really kind of comes down to how do individuals use it. I think a really big part about AI is how do you use it with intentionality, right? You don't want AI to do all of your thinking for you. But that's not a thing that companies can like determine, nor is that a thing that like government can really regulate. It's about like, you know, are you using AI to do all of your writing or are you just using it as like a brainstorming tool?
You're listening to Autumn Dorsey. She's a policy advisor at the Center for Technology at the Heritage Foundation. Well, again, when social media first came out and we had gradually realize that we need some kind of restraint, but then it actually became a tool, especially during COVID, of the Biden administration. Put out only what we allow you to put out, shut down and censor everything else. Where's the
correlation? Yeah,
that
was a huge problem.
Yeah, and the correlation with AI.
Yeah, I think one thing that the government is going to have to figure out is how do you essentially have rules so that we aren't coercing platforms, these AI tools, to have censorship, right? There are a couple of bills now that are actually focusing on this and making sure that we're preventing AI-enabled censorship.
I'm looking at a piece presented by The Hill, and the author, I think, is Adam Solander, I believe, Andrew, I should say. In the beginning statement, campaign ads featuring AI-generated clips and images once sounded like a laughable concept. Now they're everywhere with attack ads that place candidates in a wide variety of compromising and fictitious situations.
Yeah, it's an interesting landscape now that we have, you can have deep fakes of different politicians. And I think that's also something that The Hill is going to have to figure out is, are we going to actually allow that?
Well, we knew that every time Trump was speaking at any point during his first administration, you had all these fact checkers, which were generally paid leftists to call out things that may or may not have been a mistake or fact that he got wrong. But often we end up either relying on them to do, quote, our fact checking because we're too lazy, or we don't have the resources. I'm going to grant that. And the same thing I see happening with some things regarding AI. When you see some of these video, you don't know if it's fake or not, do you?
True. It's getting harder and harder to tell.
So how are you going to police it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm sort of thinking that, maybe you have to use tech against tech. How do you have... There are ways to have maybe AI detection algorithms and so that you're able to provide notices maybe on social media that hey, this is an AI generated video.
And that should be a mandate, or is it?
It's not currently a mandate. It's a potential solution. I am interested to see maybe if there are more market-based solutions, but I'm not entirely sure what those would look like right now.
Will it become as innocuous and kind of passed over as the warning on a cigarette pack, this might cause cancer?
Potentially. But I mean, it's better to have, those cigarette warnings than to not have them, right? We still want people to be aware or have at least the tools to be aware that some things are AI generated.
All right, back to the Hill article. I want to share this with you. They're talking about an ad that depicts Tallarico in Texas, Democrat Senate nominee, opposing Trump's choice, of course, in Texas. The ad depicts Tallarico, and it was put out by a Trump-aligned group called Citizens for Sanity. It depicts Tallarico in a dress singing an abridged version of Favorite Things about transgender children. Now, Tallarico did not do that. And on one hand, you can laugh about it, but at the same time, you kind of know that he does endorse transgender children. So they're taking a fact of where he stands and then putting a circus around it.
Yeah.
So what is the audience supposed to do and take away from that?
I mean, I think, part of it is political messaging. I mean, attack ads are not a new sort of idea. It's just, I think AI is really, enabling them and enabling these attack ads. It's a hard line to toe, right? You want people to have creative freedom, but also on the flip side, it can be used to put people in situations that maybe they've never actually said or been in.
And then in Kentucky, the GOP primary for the 4th District, a throuple ad, as they refer to it, T-H-R-O-U-P-L-A, throuple ad, deep fakes of Congressman Thomas Massie, Republican Kentucky, dining, checking into a hotel, holding hands with Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and AOC, all these pro-Massie spots using AI to depict an elephant with Trump-like hair and a MAGA cap. I mean, at some point you recognize, okay, now that's fake. But again, some of it can be so fine, so distinct, and maybe so on point that it's gobbled up as fact.
Yeah. And that's the concern when it comes to these things. So, you know, maybe having notices might be a solution.
I'm sorry, doing what?
Having like a notice, like, you know, on social media, that these are posted on social media, that this is AI generated.
I still say, I think after a while, it becomes just wallpaper to a lot of the audience. They don't pay attention. I'll bet any smoker right now probably has not bothered looking at the warning on the cigarette label package for decades. They just pick it up and start smoking.
I mean, true, but I also think that, you know, it has like I think my generation is very much against smoking because of those things, where we now sort of know that, like, oh, because of these warnings, you know, smoking is not a good thing for you. And it has kind of fallen out of, like, you know, fashion in my generation. So I think, you know, there could be something to say about actually having real notices for AI generated content.
Well, now, since you mentioned your generation, you know, you and I are the same generation. You know that.
Oh, I apologize.
No, darling, you don't. If I offended you by saying, darling, I apologize. But no, we have quite a few. We have quite a few differences in age. There's no doubt about it. But I will say this. I walked into one of my advertisers one day and said, Larry, I want you to take a look at this. And there I was. I spent years as a TV news anchor. So there I am, my lips moving perfectly in sync and the words coming out of my mouth, my voice, and I'm castigating, defiling the advertiser. And the guy that runs her ad campaign looks up at me and said, what? And I said, "I that's not me. I didn't do it. Of course, it turned out he put it up. He made it up just to have fun with me. But I had no way of defense. And so a lot of people are going to be caught like that. What do they do?
Right. I mean, I think that's something that, like, you know, is going to have to be probably contended in the courts a little bit in terms of, like, you know, what evidence now becomes admissible. But I think technology will also kind of catch up in this area when it comes to, like, AI detection.
All right. Well, I want to thank you again very much for your time, Autumn Dorsey, the Heritage Foundation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up, the debate over a photo ID still in play for the elections. Or is it? Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation, if they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, I got me a gal in Pekin. She's a good old gal, okay. Oh, she's sitting there waiting by the window fan on a long, hot summer day. For every day I'm working on the Illinois River, get a half a day off with pay. Oh, so bold, picking up barges on a
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The American people are with Nicki Minaj, because what are we talking about here? So take a look here. Favor voter ID to vote. Look, I got all this polling on the screen going back since 2018. You'll notice on all of it, it's all north of 75%, 76%, 76%, 76%, 81%, and then 83% in the last year of Americans agree with Nicki Minaj. They favor photo ID to be able to vote.
Now, in case you are of different generation, I had some fun on my last guest. If you missed it, pull up the podcast. Young woman, I'm going to guess probably late 20s. And she's talking about her generation. And I said, well, I think my generation, you and I are the same generation. And she apologized because she didn't mean to offend me. I said, oh, no. I was playing with you and offending you because I'm not anywhere near your generation. I think I remember that generation. Maybe not, but I think I do. But CNN, NNN's Harry Enten pointing out that the voter ID and how the numbers stack up show that we have many in this country that just do not buy the lie, the absolute lie being sold by the left that voter ID is disenfranchising voters. And Hillary Clinton's still pushing it. I'll come to her in a moment. Nicki Minaj is a Trinidadian, I should say, rapper, singer, songwriter, known for sassy, assertive characters and so forth. She has explained in the past that she regrets certain lyrics from her past, thinking that maybe they gave a wrong impression about her, that she thinks that she wants supporters to embrace her new perspective. Others are unsure about her views. Her shift has been a topic of discussion, even on social media platforms. She has basically accepted the fact that there are too many crazies out there on the left, and she doesn't want to be part of them. And speaking about voter ID issues, once again, CNN's Harry Enten.
What's the racial breakdown on this, right? Because I think a lot of people make the argument that people of color, non-white Americans, have a harder time procuring a photo ID to vote. But even here, take a look here. Favor photo ID to vote. 85% of white people favor it. 82% of Latino. 76% of black Americans favor it. So the bottom line is this. Voter ID is not controversial in this country. A photo ID to vote is not controversial in this country. It is not controversial by party, and it is not controversial by race. The vast majority of Americans agree with Nicki Minaj that, in fact, you should have a photo ID to be able to vote.
And then the last stat, in case you missed it, 76% of the black population surveyed said, I favor voter ID. They want to protect their vote. They don't want their vote stolen from them. Now, if you have a Nazi you're voting for, well, then you want to make sure you get your vote in. And yes, there are members of the left that are going to be voting for a Nazi. And they have no problem with it. And they've been the same ones calling Trump Hitler-like and being a Nazi. And now they've got Graham Plattner running on a Democrat ticket, winning his primary. You run against Susan Collins in Maine. Alaska, I should say. Maine. I got my mind mixed up here. Maybe I'm failing my generation. I apologize. Bottom line is they have recognized they are willing to support a Nazi who wore a tattoo, a Nazi tattoo, for almost 20 years and just now is covering it up, claiming, well, I didn't know the meaning of it. Graham Plattner has served our nation honorably in war action. I'm going to give him credit for that. I don't know if he suffered some traumatic syndrome of something happening in the field or post-traumatic syndrome now. I don't know. I'm not trying to devise any explanation for him. But you got so many on the left willing to accept a guy that is a self-defined Nazi, while at the same time claiming Trump is a Nazi. We want him out. He wants to control the government. Fascist. That's exactly what Nazis do. They want to compare him to Hitler. And to my knowledge, I don't think Trump has sent anyone to the gas chambers. But then a lot of those on the left got really upset about this event at the White House the other night. How dare they disgrace the White House with this event? And in particular, UFC heavyweight champ Josh Hockett came out celebrating his victory and made a remark about Michelle Obama is a man. Am I right, America? Oh, boy. Boy, did that set some fires. And, of course, from the left, led by people like Rosie O'Donnell, saying Trump supporters are racist. Well, now, speaking about getting rid of racists and people like that, the Southern Poverty Law Center was built on the premise of destroying the Klan and getting rid of racism. And yet more and more evidence coming out that the Southern Poverty Law Center funneled millions of dollars to the Klan and Klan members so they could have a propped up boogeyman. We need more money to fight the Klan because they're getting bigger. You know why they're getting bigger? We're taking some of your money and giving it to them. But send us more money. And they got it. The New York Post is reporting that one executive at the Southern Poverty Law Center, a former executive, also funneled $1.2 million in donor money to her neo-Nazi lover. Oh, and they do share a bank account, apparently. The New York Post reporting Heidre Bykerik, a 58-year-old fascism expert who was the director of intelligence at the Alabama-based anti-extremism nonprofit Southern Poverty Law Center between 2012 and 2019. Her boyfriend's name is only listed as F9 in the indictment, which accuses her of dropping $140,000 in donor money given to the Southern Poverty Law Center into their joint accounts. The indictment claims that overall that Mr. F9 received $1.2 million over 20 years, supposedly as an informant. So the SPLC was paying this guy $60,000 to be a neo-Nazi. Well, if it's working for Graham Plattner, maybe it can work for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Oh, yeah, we're helping recruit Nazis because we want to be inside their camp. So we're taking your money and using it. We've seen numerous health care frauds, obviously, in recent times. Prosecutors last year took down one of the largest. It involved not a Somalian, but a Haitian national running two clinics as fraudulent prescription mills, treating patients for HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases. The Department of Justice decided to look deep into the way the operations were running. They found out that the citizen of Haiti, who came to the U.S., raked in tens of millions of dollars taxpayer money through criminal fraud. This is another case of where the Democrats tell you one thing and then do the other. And to add to the salt to the wound, they will tell you what to do, and then they will turn around and do whatever they want to do. I'll give you a perfect example here in a moment, but I want to share this with you because can't overlook it. I don't know if this is going to cause a real division between President Trump and Texas Senator Ted Cruz, but Trump has endorsed a candidate in the Georgia's gubernatorial nomination runoff. Ted Cruz is backing his opponent in the primary runoff. So Cruz endorsed the guy Friday, also supporting South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson, facing off against another Trump-backed Lieutenant Governor Pamela Evatt in the South Carolina GOP gubernatorial primary runoff. Will Trump's coattails be enough to carry them to victory, or will Cruz's opposition put a stop to it? Now, in Florida, the Marion County Sheriff has been telling reporters in one recent news conference how his agents, along with federal agents, have been busy rescuing children from sex dens. Children who were brought here illegally and admitted under Biden's open border policy. Thank you, Joe Biden. They got in with little or no vetting. One reporter, in listening to the Marion County Sheriff go on and on about rescuing children, decided he wanted to change the subject. That was a bad, bad, bad idea.
For the Attorney General, Colonel Howes, we're able to ask a couple off-topic questions, specifically about the wrongful arrest of Lindsay Isaacs in Volusia County. I understand that she and her criminal attorney met with your office, Mr. Uffmeyer, just a couple days ago. How'd that meeting go, and do you think that Lindsay Isaacs deserves an apology, and what's the status of those two FHP troopers that are named in the civil lawsuit?
All right, so you just pissed me off. Now, I'll let him decide if he's going to answer your question, but all this you want to ask him about some other case? We're talking about children. Now, if you're getting that from one of your people that typically is behind the phones that y'all have, wants you to ask that question, tell them to have the gonads to come here and ask me that question.
Good.
That is what you need to be focused on.
To be fair, we did ask about that. And we are
it doesn't make a difference. I'm not here to talk about what FHP did. I'm here to talk about what they did. Nothing else. Let's get that abundantly clear, because it happens. It happens to this poor man all the time. You want to go off on a tangent. This press conference is solely for those pieces of shit that are right there. Are we clear?
Crystal. Now, did the reporter come up with this question on his own, or just thought, okay, we've heard enough about sexually abused children and the people sitting here that have been charged with it. Let's talk about something else. Talk about being tone deaf. Now, here's another group that is tone deaf, the Major League Baseball Association. They are claiming baseball is for everyone, but they're now threatening any players for expressing Christian faith. Looking at a piece written in The Federalist by Sean Fleetwood, we often have him on as a guest. Major League Baseball threatening to punish several Christian ball players for the San Francisco Giants, because on Monday, was their Pride Night uniform night they were supposed to wear. Well, they inscribed Bible verses on the Pride Night uniforms. And the MLB communications chief said, the writing on the cap violates our rules. And consistent with normal practice, we have warned the players about future violations. It's not a violation to make them wear a suit that says, I'm all about pride. They may, in fact, support some people in pride. They don't support pedophilia. And not every member of Pride is pushing pedophilia. And I've told you before, I have some gay friends. They don't like this kind of attitude either. They agree, quit shoving it in the face of the public. But MLB is doing that, except in Texas. Three different pitchers all wrote variations of Genesis 9, 12, 16 on their LGBT-themed hats during the Giants' Friday matchup against the Cubs. The Bible verse details God's use of a rainbow to symbolize his covenant that he would never again destroy mankind by flooding the earth. One of the pitchers asked about it, said, it's something I believe in, I stand firm in it. We live in a country where we have the freedom to believe what we want. There's no hate, it's just what I stand for. And what I stand for is I believe in God. Oh, no, 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 no. You can't do that. You can stand with the transgenders and pushing children into pedophilia and all the other nasty crap, but you cannot stand in defense of God. That is why this program and News Talk STL exist. Not just politics, but belief. Please join us again tomorrow. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.